In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we will sing in the closing hymn, Isaiah 'twas foretold it, that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God, worked through this prophet to announce signs that would point to the Messiah, the promised Son of David, the Son of Man, the seed of the woman, the descendant of Abraham. That he would point these signs out, that these things would happen in this way, so that people in Jesus' time could look at what was happening, look at Jesus, and say, hey, that's just like what Isaiah said 700 years before. That these prophecies are signs. They are markers that point to something else, some great truth, that Jesus indeed is the one promised by God. He is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the one in whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, Jesus pointed this out himself. He pointed out the signs over and over again to his opponents, even to his own disciples. He would say things like, if you don't believe me or my word, then at least believe the works that I do. The signs, these things of Jesus, were meant to show exactly who Jesus is, even to the ones who despised him. Now, Ahaz, who is who Isaiah is talking to in chapter 7, Ahaz is a horrible king. The scriptures speak of his rule this way from 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father David had done, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He even made metal images for the Baals, and he made offerings in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burned his sons as an offering according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. And he sacrificed and made offerings in the high places, and on the hills, and under every green tree. In Isaiah chapter 7, this wicked ruler, this King Ahaz, is facing an invasion of his lands by two different kings, an invasion designed to replace him as king over Judah and bring Judah as a nation into an alliance against the Assyrians. Ahaz and the land of Judah, at the news of this invasion, this declaration of war, are worried and they are weak. That this is indeed what happens, especially to unbelieving rulers who cannot escape the fears that stem from their unbelief. That when you trust in your own abilities, your own strengths, your own powers, your own alliances even, and so forth, there will be eventually someone greater to come along and humble you. That this is indeed how God has throughout history dealt with rulers and nations. That God desires that rulers and nations would put their trust in him. So Isaiah tells this King Ahaz, right before our lesson picks up, a number of things, but especially he says, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. And then God speaks through Isaiah, and he tells Ahaz, ask for a sign. Make it a big one. Now, when God says to you, test me, big or small, you should test him. But Ahaz is not faithful. He cannot find any certainty, even when God himself tells him what to do. So he denies God's offer. He wearies the Lord, as the prophet says. But he puts on also a false piety along the way, not wanting, so-called, to put the Lord to the test. This is just continued unbelief and rebellion to God. Do you see how gracious God was to him, this wicked king, that he tells him, test me. But Ahaz, in his unbelief and rebellion, says no. And then Ahaz even tries to invoke God's own name to make his decision to deny this a more pleasing or pious thing. But this is, of course, the wickedness of the first order from a wicked ruler, that he uses God's name to cover up his wicked unbelief and rebellion. Now, on the total opposite end of the spectrum, in our third lesson tonight, we hear of Mary, who is told by the angel Gabriel what God will do, and is even given a sign that Elizabeth is now 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, and she faithfully receives the word of the Lord from Gabriel. But this is the difference between faith and unbelief, that Mary hears the word of the fulfillment of God's sign to Ahaz, that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And she trusts it to be so, only wondering on specific points of how that will happen. But yet at the conclusion of it all, she says, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be done to me according to your word. That upon that word of the sign of Elizabeth's pregnancy, she seeks out and goes and finds Elizabeth, ever trusting and only trusting in God to keep his word, to keep his promises. That this is the pattern of the faithful. And Mary, the mother of our Lord, is a great example to us in it. Now that sign given to Ahaz is given for our benefit, that he rejected it in unbelief, but we receive it by faith. That the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is meant to set Jesus apart from every other human being. And yet, it is to make Jesus, in his birth, one with us all. That he is conceived in a way unlike anyone else, and yet he is still absolutely, truly human in body, taking on flesh and blood and everything else of a bodily existence. He becomes one of us. That this is what that word Emmanuel, God with us, this is the greatest significance, that God has come to us. But God did not just come to us as some glorious thing, but he comes to us in the significance of being man. He becomes one of us now. That he's our brother. That God in Christ had to reconcile the world to himself. And to do that, God becomes one of us. He becomes man, in order to serve as a substitute for men, to stand in our place, both for righteousness' sake, earning what we couldn't, but also for justice's sake, taking upon himself the guilt and the punishment that mankind deserved. And all of this happens at the fullness of time, we are told, that Isaiah spoke 700 years before it happened. And regardless of how long it took, it happened. This is how we ought to receive every word of our God. And as we've heard in recent weeks, the word of our Lord's coming, his return. That the word about our redemption draws near, well, guess what? It will happen. That the word of our Lord about the Lord himself repaying the wicked world for its treatment of him, it will happen. That the enemies of God and his Christians being defeated, treaded underfoot, it will happen. That the whole Christian church being vindicated for that which the world has mocked and derided over the millennia, it will happen. Your own vindication for all the wrong that has been done to you for being a Christian, that vindication will happen. The fruit of all of your efforts in this life to resist temptation and to resist sin and to lead a godly life, it is not wasted effort. You will not be put to shame. But such pious effort, such godliness, will be shown to be the absolute golden wisdom and some of the most valuable time and effort that you ever spent in this life. And it will happen. Your patience and your hopefulness will not disappoint. That Christ, being shown to be the Lord of all, with every knee bending and every tongue confessing, even the folks like Ahaz, it will happen. It will happen because God has said so. That Christ, the only Son of the Father, born of the Virgin Mary, will make it happen, just as he said. But in the meantime, until that final fullness of time, we wait with anticipation, with certain hope, trusting in what God has said, with a focus on the faithful reception of the Word of God, doing the work that we are given to do out of love for others while it is day. Ahaz is mentioned one time in the New Testament. Last time his name pops up is actually in the genealogy of Jesus. That faithless and evil and wicked, rebellious ruler who killed his own children in offering them to pagan gods, who built abominable things in the temple of God, he is listed because this sign was given to him, that he is of the house of David from which Jesus comes, a house full of sinners. That just as our lesson from Luke confirms this sign, and just as Matthew's notes about the angel speaking to Joseph, this section in Matthew chapter 1 does also in the genealogy. That we can take comfort that Christ, the Holy One of God, as Isaiah often called him, comes from a sinful family in order to redeem sinners. And in him we find a brother, for we ourselves come from sinful families, and we ourselves are sinners for whom he came. And he has come. And it happened just as he said. And because of Christ, we are redeemed sinners. That he was born of a woman to be our brother. He was born under the law in order to redeem us who are under the law. And with it, redeemed us from the condemnation of the law that we deserved as sinners. And with it, redeemed us from death, which we deserved because we were sinners. He did this so that you would receive adoption as sons. That Christ has absolutely no problem bringing sinners into his family. Remember, Ahaz is one of his ancestors. But Christ, however, does not let you stay as sinners, but gives you this adoption by his Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father. That for you, by Christ, you are declared to be saints, holy ones yourselves. And Christ has made this so. And the Spirit that he has given you, the Spirit you possess as sons of God, then is the very Spirit who makes holy. And by that same Spirit who inspired Isaiah to speak those words to Ahaz, and who inspired those words to be very much written down for our learning, by that same Spirit you now call God your Father. All because of the Son who made your adoption real, sealing it by his own blood. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.